This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Our number three, Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. We say our number three because, well, in New York, they've been getting used to this, Bart Scott, around the country. It is a new thing.
It is no longer overtime, right?
Yes.
You think about the NFL season. They got the they got the 17th game added. Well, baby, we got the next hour, so y'all got us. You stuck with us. We're going to get you on your way home. We're going to get you through that tough traffic. Whatever you need to talk about, get off your chest. By the time you get to your destination, we want you to be able to woo side out. Call us your Dr. Phil.
We are your sports Dr. Phil. There's no doubt about that. And again, those calls are on the Dr. Pepper call online at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We do have you in your Overreaction Monday calls that we will get to in a moment. But I have to get to Chris Canty, who is right now on the Goodyear Hotline, also right now in the studio in Bristol getting ready for his show with Golic Jr., who we love, by the way. Don't
Baby
start any
Bull.
Trouble. But I have to read this text that I got from Chris Canty yesterday. That it was seconds after the game ended. The Giants defeated once again. 0-3 for the second straight year. 0 feels like forever. And he says this, Bart Scott. He said, I need a solid 15 minutes on the Giants tomorrow. They had no business losing that game today. And for everybody to understand, Chris Canty, this is personal. It was Eli Manning Day. Chris Canty has a ring on his finger with a Super Bowl logo on it. Thanks in part to that great defense that he was part of, but also because of Eli Manning. And they lose. They lose in the fashion that they did once again. And so, Chris, welcome. And I'm just going to step aside and say the floor is yours.
Well, Bart said he wants to be our version of Dr. Phil. Well, I need to get on the couch and just rap with you fellas for a little bit, because what I saw yesterday from Big Blue, Alan, it was an embarrassment to anybody that's ever worn that jersey. It's an embarrassment to the fans that root for him every single Sunday. And quite frankly, it was an embarrassment to ownership, which is why you heard about the reports of trash cans being kicked over right outside the owner's suite after yesterday's game, after that field goal went through. So, I mean, this is an all-time high level of frustration for Giants fans of my generation. And after talking with my dad yesterday, Alan, he said this reminds him of the Giants that he knows from the 70s, where they just couldn't get out of their own way. Fans were showing up to the stadium with paper bags on their heads, and then you had the planes overhead flying saying that they were sick of it.
Yeah.
I mean, at this point, that's where we're at. You're talking about the Giants starting out the season, 5 consecutive years with an 0-2 start, lost the game yesterday to a team that was winless, only put up 2 touchdowns against a defense that was giving up 40 points a game through the first 2 weeks of the season. I just don't know. I don't know where to start in terms of expressing my frustration. Plenty of blame to go around in all places, Alan. But at some point, the losing has to stop. And I think the only way that that happens is if we have some accountability throughout the organization and people recognize the mistakes that have been made that have led to the team having this level of ineptitude for the last 3 or 4 seasons.
All right, Chris. Well, most people, they call us. And I understand right now you have your fan hat on, but let's put your analyst hat on. And let's give the people some solutions. If you were the general manager, which, hey, man, I think you're pretty qualified for. If you're the general manager, where would you start? And how do you fix it this year? Because at the end of the day, you still have to finish up this year. 14 more games to go. And, man, if you look at this schedule, it only gets worse and worse when you look at the schedule and who's coming down the pipeline.
Well, Bart, for me, it starts with the foundation of a football team. And that's what happens at the line of scrimmage. That's your offensive line and your defensive line. And yesterday, even though it wasn't anything glaring, your offensive line struggled. I mean, that sack by Grady Jarrett on the first possession that the Giants had, that's a 4-point sack. I mean, and that would ultimately be the difference in the outcome of the game. So those types of plays can't happen. You've got to be able to establish a ground game. And I'm not talking about a ground game that's predicated on your quarterback running read option. I'm talking about a ground game where Saquon Barkley can average more than 4 yards a carry.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we need. I mean, until we're able to do that, you're not going to bring out the best in your quarterback. You're not going to bring out the best in the skill position players that you spent all that money on, all that draft capital on. So, I mean, I think that's really where the Giants have to go back to. I mean, you look at the Super Bowl teams in 2007 and 2011, really strong offensive lines, really good groups up front, both sides of the ball. So I think that's the foundation for the Giants. On the defensive side, they have a hard time being able to get after the passer consistently. I mean, it's Azeez Ojulari and everybody else right now. Leonard Williams has been a ghost. Like, he's going to have to step up and produce a lot more to live up to the contract that they gave him this offseason. And those guys on the back end of that defense, in that secondary, the secondary that we all thought could be amongst the best in the National Football League, they need to get their act together because they were culprits in yesterday's loss as well. I mean, you had a DPI by Logan Ryan that gave them a fresh set of downs closer to the goal-to-go situation at the end there. Adoree Jackson, big free agent acquisition. He's got to come up with that errant pass in the end zone for an interception. If he makes that play, you're probably talking about that game being over. I mean,
right.
Allen, there's plenty of blame to go around, a lot of places to put it at. But when we start talking about the persons that need to step up and say that, you know, this is something that's got to get fixed, Dave Gettleman needs to be front and center on this. Dave Gettleman absolutely has to stand up and take responsibility for the product that we're seeing on the field right now. He's been on the job since the end of 2017. That's long enough to get things fixed. And this thing still hadn't gotten turned around. This is on him.
I mean, it starts with him, I think, obviously, because you're right. He's the architect of this team. But if you look at it, the one thing I will say is, and I said this yesterday after the game, what's a shame is what's overshadowing everything is that Daniel Jones is becoming this kid's a stud. He's a stud. Like, he can play. But the problem is these self-inflicted wounds that you were talking about. The mistakes, you know, dropping what should have been a game-changing interception. The fact that they look like they were rolling, and then all of a sudden it's penalty, you're going backwards. Sack, going backwards. Now all of a sudden what looked like a scoring drive turns into a punt. Like, it just feels like this team, and then obviously you go back to last week, and you got to stay on sides. I mean, the several mistakes that are made there, the coaching mistakes, the discipline mistakes, that's the maddening thing. Is this just on Gettleman, or is Joe Judge maybe not the guy? He's a disciplined guy. He's supposed to be someone that really makes sure that everybody's in the right place. It was supposed to be a throwback to the Parcells era, to even Tom Coughlin. But instead, these self-inflicted wounds, Chris, are the thing that I watch the Giants, and it's like, you know, did the Falcons win or did the Giants lose? You know, did the Giants lose or was it Washington that won? Like, when you look at those games, I look at the Giants losing more than I see the other team winning. Does that make sense?
No, it absolutely does. And I put it out there on Twitter yesterday. It's another game where you felt like the Giants outplayed their opponent, and yet they find themselves on the wrong end of the scoreboard. Like, that's where this team is at. And that's the sign of a team that doesn't execute in the critical junctures in the game. Situational football, the Giants did not step up and perform well. I mean, you look at those red zone possessions. I mentioned the Grady Jarrett sack. There was another situation where Daniel Jones gets a shotgun snap from Billy Price. The ball hits him right in the face.
Oh, man.
And that ends up being a negative play. They have to settle for a field goal on that drive. Again, an opportunity for 4 points that you probably lost. You can't give away those opportunities. You can't give away those chances. The two touchdown drives that the Atlanta Falcons had, I mean, you're talking about those drives being aided by Giants penalties, guys in the secondary, Xavier McKinney and Logan Ryan. So, I mean, those things have to be eliminated if you want to find yourself on the winning side of games. Unforced errors, there's no place for that in this business. The Giants, the last 2 weeks, 19 penalties.
Yeah.
How do you get beyond that? What happened to all the laps in practice for discipline and making sure you don't do things that cost your team a chance to win games? What happened to that? That's not what's playing out on the field. I'm not seeing a disciplined ball club. I'm not seeing a ball club that knows how to win, especially when it gets late and the games are close. And to me, that's all attributed to coaching or lack thereof. So, yeah, there's plenty of blame for Joe Judge in this thing, too.
Chris, I feel like Denzel in Training Day, man, when he shot Roger in the chest and he wanted him just breathe, dog. I just want you to, because I feel.
How you gonna ask me to breathe? Eli Manning Day. They retire in his jersey, and the Giants go out there and do that. Come on, man! You're supposed to be making me feel better, Bart. You're not making me feel better. See, and you know what makes me feel worse? When I look at the schedule. Where's the next win coming, Bart? Week 10 against the bye. We gonna beat the bye week.
Listen,
is that what we gotta hang our hat on? But what do you want from me? I don't have anything left. At least with you, you know you're starting over. You know you're in year one with a rookie quarterback and a rookie head coach. You got an excuse with your Jets. What's the excuse with my Giants?
Hey, man, I just want the best for you. And I don't think your blood pressure being up like this is good for you. So let's start with something that we all can. Let's get your blood temperature, your blood pressure down.
Okay.
Tell me this.
Let me rub my earlobes. Yeah. Let me woo-saw a little bit.
Right? So tell me this. More impressive win yesterday, the Rams or the Green Bay Packers? What say you, Chris?
Oh, it's got to be the Rams, man. I mean, that win meant more to them. And that game had a little bit of a playoff feel. Not just the guys that were on the field, but the electricity within that crowd. Like, that was more than just a regular season game. You could tell it was turned up a little bit. And the eyes and ears of the football world were focused on SoFi Stadium. And if you're the Rams, I mean, listen, that's the litmus test, right? The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are the measuring stick. They returned all 22 starters from their Super Bowl team. Now, I got that they got some injuries on the back end. I get all of that. But that being said, like, if you're Matt Stafford, you're going out there in that game and you're proving why Sean McVay and Les Snead were right in sending two first-round draft picks and Jared Goff to Detroit. You brought Matt Stafford in to be able to win football games like that, and he absolutely delivered. Guy stepped up all over the place. Cooper Kupp is well on his way to being an all-pro this year. DeSean Jackson, I don't know how the hell he's still running that fast, but he's still getting behind defensive backs. That offensive line, for the most part, kept Matt Stafford clean. And then that defense dominated, man. I mean, I can't say enough about that Rams defense. I mean, I know they were a good unit, but, I mean, yesterday they showed me an element of physicality that I hadn't seen from them before. Like, there's real killers on that Rams defense, led by Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey. Like, make no mistake about it. So, if you have that physicality, that level of physicality on that side of the ball, and your offensive line can keep a quarterback of Matt Stafford's caliber upright, I mean, that's the recipe to win a whole lot of games in this league. Now, they got a tough division in the NFC West, but to me, yesterday's games, I got to say that the Rams get the edge over the Green Bay Packers.
The voice you hear is Chris Kenny, the very passionate Chris Kenny today on the show on the Goodyear Hotline. I'm going to remind him of something in a minute. He is, of course, co-host of Golic. Or I'm sorry, his name comes first. Canty and Golic Jr.
No, Mr. Big Shot.
Had to get that right.
I had to make sure we had the names in place. I know you're trying to backpedal Alan off of some of the things that you were saying about Gojo.
I didn't say anything.
I know you're trying to soften some things. We had some heightened tensions the last couple of weeks. Stuff that was going on, chirping behind the scenes.
Yeah, no, my role is to laugh. I mean, okay. That's what I'm supposed to do when he makes a joke. What do you want me to do? Just let it, like, I'm a good teammate. I don't leave him hanging out here because I'm protecting my own interests. No, he makes a joke. It's funny. I'm going to laugh. That's how we do things.
Chris,
and I'm
going to
remind you, Chris Candy.
Chris laughed in the car.
I don't have a problem with you laughing. You just can't laugh for free. You know, when everybody is going with the jokes in the locker room,
I understand.
And guys get to chuckling a little too hard, they get roped in into the jokes too. I'm just saying.
Hold on. What you laughing at?
Just know that it's coming toward you, all right? Everybody can get it, man. I'm just telling you.
I got a word for it. I got a word for him to make him feel good.
What?
Tucker.
I was going there. Chris Kenny is famous for an amazing quote that we used to play all the time. Kickers aren't even people. He would say it often. It was very funny. But in this case, do you make an exception, Chris Kenny, for what Justin Tucker did? And, of course, breaking the hearts of all the Detroit Lions. All those people out there. But that kick, that was a bomb. What do you think? Is he at least – because Bart said that today or I guess tomorrow, he'd be a guy that if he walked in a lunchroom, the football players would say, no, you come over. You can sit with us. Would you agree with that?
And then a long snapper come on over and like, what you doing? Sit your ass down. Nobody call your name. Hell you doing?
Yeah, hey.
Putting over there by yourself.
We got to put some respect on Justin Tucker's name. And it's not like Bart and I didn't have that respect. My former teammate, I know how good he is. I mean, we talk about the players that are the best at their positions. We always talk about how Aaron Donald is better at his job than everybody else around the National Football League. I mean, Justin Tucker is on that level. I mean, he's just good enough for me to actually consider him a football player. And I've seen him stick his face in there when a kick returner breaks a long one. He's not afraid of contact. He's not afraid to tackle somebody. He's also not afraid to belt out a couple of operatic notes in the locker room. He's multi-talented, but I mean – listen, he's got that leg, man. It is unbelievable. And, you know, when he banged that one through yesterday, man, it was just like, dude, it's an incredible weapon to have a guy that's in field goal range as soon as your team crosses midfield.
Yeah.
But that's the luxury that John Harbaugh has in Justin Tucker. And I saw this tweet put out there by Bill Barwell, and he said, it's heartbreaking that the fighting kneecap biters lose to a strong kneecap from the Baltimore Ravens kicker. That was put out there yesterday. I thought that was pretty funny. But yeah, man, Justin Tucker's the best kicker in the National Football League.
Okay. All right.
That's it.
So he counts. Now, Chris, before we let you run, Monday Night Football tonight, again, you played for the Ravens. You also have played for the Cowboys. So Big game for the Cowboys tonight, would you say? I mean, is this a statement game? The Eagles are trying to, you know, also make their own statement in a division that looks like it's going to be top-heavy again. What do you see tonight?
Yeah, the Dallas Cowboys need to grab this division by the throat, and they need to put a beatdown on the Philadelphia Eagles. Like, the Eagles are still trying to feel their way out. They're not quite sure exactly what their identity is. Hell, they're not even sure if they have their quarterback of the future. Mm. So if you're the Dallas Cowboys, you want to take full advantage of that. You saw that defense come along last week, their performance against the Chargers. They continue to be opportunistic, taking the ball away. Micah Parsons is a beast no matter where you put him. Micah Parsons is a beast. He's my vote for Defensive Rookie of the Year coming
Zayvon
into this
Collins
season.
Balling,
you can put him off the ball. You can put him on the ball. Anywhere he lines up, he's going to be a pressure player. And you got to love the way Dan Quinn has deployed him in the last couple of weeks.
You hear that, Lane Johnson? Lane Johnson heard that. Yeah, this the guy y'all want? Oh, yeah, okay. Oh, he like to rush the passer.
And guess what?
Say these paws to your chest, okay, youngster.
And guess what? Lane Johnson could get it, too. And you heard it here first.
Whoa. Hit the damn gong.
Chris Kenny with a hot take.
Hot take. It won't seem like that hot after you see what he does tonight. I'm just putting it out there.
But also,
that Dallas Cowboys offense is the best unit in the division. And if you're Jerry Jones, if this group of players, if this core of players can't win this division and get you into the postseason and competing for a championship, it's not going to happen with this core.
They
got to do it this
cups.
Year.
They better pee in the cups right then.
Remember, write it down. Take a picture. I don't give a
That's it.
Got to pee in the cups right, man. What's Lionel Collins doing, man? What y'all doing over there, man? Pee in the cups.
Chris,
right
you
now.
Had to hear. Bart gave us the whole story about how it works when you have to go
Chris,
for the test.
Could you imagine Chris at 6'9 with his
well,
much hamstring and sore?
All right. He said basically that you were somebody's watching you go. And you have to basically drop trial in front of someone.
All the way
go.
To the ankles, though. Not like when you were like,
you
in elementary
school.
The ankles, yeah. All the way to the ankles.
You know how much hamstring Chris is showing when he's going in there to provide a sample?
All right, Chris, I know you have a show to do. Thanks so much. I'm going to let you go on that take.
All right, fellas. Appreciate y'all having me on.
Chris Candy giving us a straight talk. Right by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Canty and Golic Jr. Come on nationally after Bart. And 888-CESPN.
Hold on. Did you just try to separate yourself from me? You just trying to separate yourself from HR?
Bart and I. What?
Yeah, that I came late, man. That I came real, real late.
I started talking
about hamstrings. You tried to leave me. You was like in House Party when Play was about to, when he was screaming, Shireen! And the uncle opened up the chain and he ran. Man, you was about to leave me, man.
I was not. Okay. Going to do that. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We got a lot of people on hold that want to give us their overreaction Monday, so let's do it. Let's go to 40 from Jersey, 40.
40 water.
Hey, Bart, what's good, bro? Hey, I'm a Lions fan. I'm not mad at the Justin Tuck hit. But what's up with the refs, man? Why do you keep getting hosed by the refs, man? Why do you get jerked every week, every season by the refs?
Yeah, man. Listen, I don't know what's going on. Listen, they need to sage that stadium. You know what I mean? It used to be the Hudson Building. Love that stadium.
The owner got booed, too.
Lit.
Like they, right? They had Calvin Johnson in the ceremony.
Yeah, because Calvin Johnson saying, you know, we can't be friends, so you give me my 1.6 back. Listen, they're notorious for holding great players hostage. They held Barry Sanders hostage. They held Calvin Johnson. And until they do right, it's like Harpo. Until you do right by them, no good's going to come to you.
McKenzie's in Brooklyn. McKenzie.
Hey, how you doing? What's up? I'm talking about the Giants.
Yep.
Oh, man. It's so frustrating being a Giants fan right now. It's so embarrassing.
Are they
like, with the Giants?
Power rank them among all the teams in New York. Like, because the Mets have really driven their fans insane as well. I mean, where would you put the Giants right now as the most maddening team that we have here? In New York City, with all the teams, people understand, they have two of everything and three hockey teams. The Giants probably are the most maddening, even more than the Mets.
More surprising.
Because at least it's a new owner with the Mets and you're expecting some change. But the Giants look like it's just this is rinse, repeat, year after year since they won the last Super Bowl.
They have to hit the refresh button.
So it's like I feel like the whole coaching staff needs to go. Joe Judge, I believe in him, but I feel like he needs to go. He's not that guy. He's not that guy.
I think the question, McKenzie, is you did believe in him, right? The question is, did the players? Because it's like for the guy who prides himself on discipline. I actually really like Joe Judge.
We had Sterling Shepard on last week, and he said the guys love him, right?
He said it's not an easy place to play.
It's not an easy play. So, you know.
But I'll tell you what, all these undisciplined penalties that hurt the team, again, that is my question. Andre.
Who's the guy that laid into them before he left? Remember he came in.
The offensive line coach?
No, it was somebody that came in that got cut, man. He laid into them.
Oh, there's a bunch of guys that got cut and just said it's
– No, yeah. But it was one in particular. I'll think of his name.
Kelvin Benjamin?
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, Andre in Massachusetts. Him. Andre.
What's going on?
What's good?
Overreaction Monday. Listen, go. The New England Patriots, we're on the verge of going 1-3. Mm-hmm. We have the Bucs coming into town after they got manhandled out in Los Angeles. So they're going to have something to prove. So it could be personal. They could come in here and run up the
score. You think it's going to be personal? I mean, how is it not personal?
Okay.
How do you feel as a fan about this game? I really need to know, though. I want to know, Andre. As a fan, is it going to be hard for you to watch this game?
Are you going to cheer for Tom?
Yeah, how are you going to handle
this? It's going to be hard because I was Team Bill. I thought Bill had more to do with the Patriots' success. But right now, the scales are overwhelmingly pointing to Tom Brady. And the point of fact is this. Bill, this is his last year for this debate to be going on. If the Patriots start 1-3, there's a good chance they can miss the playoffs, and then it's over. Bill Belichick's legacy takes an irreversible hit. Thanks for the time.
Oh, Andre.
Don't run, Andre.
I hit the gong on that one.
Because Andre is finally saying, I want to hit Andre to say, Bart, you're right. Because I told y'all, but y'all think I'm just a Patriots hater. I told you. Didn't I tell you last week that this week was a must win, that they had to beat Jameis Winston? They had
after
to win.
After the Bucs, they had the Texans, dude.
It don't matter, the Texans.
Then they
play
the Cowboys.
They got the Bills.
Then they got the Jets.
They'll lose to the Cowboys.
Chargers.
They'll lose to the Bills twice.
Here's where it gets interesting for them. Chargers, Panthers, Browns. Those three there getting into November.
They're not going to the playoffs,
man. Patriots.
They're not going to the playoffs. They're going to lose to the Bills twice.
You said it, man. I'm not – you're one of the guys that said it. You did not believe in this team. All right, we will continue with your calls, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776, on your Overreaction Monday for your team. We will load up the calls, and we will also discuss something else. If the Bears are getting it wrong with Justin Fields, then what the hell would you have to say about what the Jets are doing with Zach Wilson? A lot there to discuss as we have five rookie quarterbacks. This guy was taken number two. And right now, the Jets look like exactly that, number two. Barton Hott, ESPN Radio, and the ESPN app. Canty and Golic Jr., come on nationally after Bart and I.
The NFL is on. Key, Jay, and now Max Kellerman.
Here's a guy that you drafted in the first round that you think could potentially be the successor to Aaron Rodgers in the future, but could he at least be a damn backup?
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Weekday mornings at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN2.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bart and Han.
Going West Coast today, Bart Scott.
Oh, no, it says the battery.
You understand. Are you still figuring this out with the battery? Bart Han, Alan Han, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio.
I need my stats, man.
ESPN. Yes, no, I know. You are having that issue, but we are making it happen. We are brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. Hey, before we get to your calls, of course, and some more on that, as we were talking about, your favorite thing, we opened the show with this, your favorite thing that you saw yesterday, of course, was Justin Tucker and that kick and that ending, the win for the Ravens, even before the kick, the throw by Lamar Jackson, just incredible. Fourth and 19 from his own 16. And two former Ravens, two former Ravens, you, yourself, of course, and Rex Ryan. You have a podcast right now, Organized Chaos, which you can download anywhere you can get your podcast. I will be listening to it on my ride home. Here's Rex and you talking about that crazy ending between Baltimore and Detroit.
Man, oh, man, what did you think about – listen, we've seen some great kicks, Rex, but what did you think about that kick by Justin, the instant Hall of Famer, Tucker?
Oh, no, unbelievable. As soon as he lined up, I'm like, you know, literally somebody was sitting next to me and like, he's going to make it. I think Adam Schefter's like, he's going to make it. I'm like, it's 66 yards. There's no way in hell he's going to make it. And of course he does. And you know, it's crazy because I was the only one cheering for dang Detroit because I was wanting my son to beat my twin brother, but which would have been an all-time epic, you know, performance right there because we call it the Ryan Bowl. And you know, I won six straight games against my brother. And if my son would have beat him, it would have been like, really? He can't beat Detroit? But to me, though, what a kick. Like, you know, I hate kickers, but Justin Tucker, could you imagine having a guy like this? I mean, it's money. And you wonder why the Ravens win so many games. It comes down to this guy. And you know when he gets on the field, regardless of the distance, he's going to make it. But 66 yards, an NFL record.
Yes.
And, you know, here's the other thing too, Bart. You know how we talk – well, if he doesn't make it, it's tight. No. They lose the football game if he doesn't make it, and he just drills it. It's just amazing.
Well, that's Rex Ryan with you, Bart Scott, on Organized Chaos on the podcast they have each week, and you can get it anywhere you get your podcast, and you want to subscribe to it because between these two, you get these two together. You get a lot of energy, especially out of a week like we just saw on Sunday. All right. On the Jets front, as we were talking about the Bears earlier and what's going on with Justin Fields and how it just – Matt Nagy's under intense pressure.
Yeah.
I mean, Robert Saleh is starting to get under some pressure too. And you know who else? Mike LaFleur.
Yeah.
Who looks all of 12 years old and is the offensive coordinator.
Doogie Howser.
Yeah. I mean, and again, obviously related to Matt LaFleur and spent all that time with not just his brother but also with Kyle Shanahan. So you think, you know, Robert Saleh brings him over and figures – This kid knows what he's doing, and we have a young quarterback, and we're just going to go ahead with this very young team and a lot of inexperience. Well, it's showing. But not only is it showing in the performance, and you know, again, yesterday, just not a lot out of the offense. At least he wasn't throwing the ball to the other team a lot, although there was
– No, that was at the end.
Two picks, but yes, but still, 160 yards, 19 of 35. He's been sacked more than any other quarterback in the league. And he and Trevor Lawrence have thrown the most interceptions of any quarterback in the league. So it's been ugly 3 weeks in. It doesn't help that Greg Van Roten, after the game, one of the offensive linemen, said he's got to learn this. He's got to learn this is the NFL. You've got to get the ball out. You can't hold on to it and try to make a play and throw it deep downfield. We've got to protect him better. It starts with us up front. It does. But Van Roten, by the way, is the right guard.
Van Rotten?
But, yeah, that's what you call him. He's been really bad, too. And I think he's trying to say is the offense is the problem. Because the kid's got a good arm, and maybe he's trying to wait for Corey Davis to get separation or someone else to get separation, and it doesn't ever happen. So he's holding it a little too long, waiting for someone to get open, and by then the offensive line is just not strong enough, especially in the middle, to hold off a pass rush. So it just turns into a disaster. They've got to change what they're doing. They've got to change their thinking. How do you do that in the middle of the season, though, Bart? And there's no backup. There's no fallback. It's not like there's a Nick Foles you could turn to. There's no veteran that you could just let the kid sit down and let's get this thing, you know, let's just get through the turbulence right now. None of that. This is his game.
Yeah.
He's got to live through all of this. And 3 weeks in, it looks absolutely terrible. While with the Giants or other teams, you know, Nagy with Chicago, you could say, well, the coach is going to lose his job. Robert Saleh's not going to lose his job one year on the job.
Yeah.
But it looks really bad right now.
Well, I'll tell you what, Robert Saleh said, hey, listen, I take care of the defense, and the defense looks okay, right?
It's capable.
You would get him a C+, right? I mean, listen, they've held down. Teddy Bridgewater's been throwing for 300 yards and going off on people. And they held him, under, you know, for the most part, under control. You know, you think about giving up 26 points. As a defense, you want to keep – your opponent to 17 points. So they only like maybe 11 points off of what you want. You would hope that really what really hurt them is missing that field goal, having a penalty, missing the field goal to delay of game would have helped them to maybe kind of get some momentum and feel like they can cash in
on
something.
The holder that let the clock run out?
Yeah, it was like, come on, man, you got one job. That's why. That's why we don't mess with kickers, man. Kickers and that whole little group.
So funny.
You got one damn job.
On a day where kicking was such a big story, of course, in that game it was a big story for them. But you heard Salah. Salah has to keep it positive. Yeah. He's that guy.
Yeah.
But as a fan, there's things you'd never want to hear. You just don't want to hear something. Sometimes as a fan, you just want to hear a little bit of passion, a little bit of anger, a little bit of frustration. Robert Saleh's not going to give that to you.
You know, from O-line, route running, quarterback, playing in rhythm, it's play caller, making sure that it's just everybody, you know, and we've all got to look in the mirror. We all got to find a way to play better on Sunday, because during the week, it's the execution is very high during the week, and we've got to find a way to bring it to Sunday and execute at the high level that we're practicing at. Otherwise, these games are going to happen.
When do the Jets play on Thursday? Because that sounds like it'll be good.
Yeah.
Right? It'll be good Thursday, because middle of the week, they seem to be okay. So when the Jets play Thursday, I hope they win. But I don't want to hear that they look good in practice. We just can't get it done on Sunday. I really don't. Now, you'll hear more from Robert Saleh. Those in New York on 98.7 ESPN, his weekly with the Michael Kay Show at 3:30 today. So you want to certainly stay tuned for that.
Yeah, everything works when you're going against your defense. You're going against the second unit. Right? Everything looks good, right? Because everything's on time. The ball's coming out. You don't have the pressure because you got the starting offense going against the second team defense, the look team. So, of course. But, you know, I think we talk about the inexperience of Zach Wilson. We talk about the inexperience of LaFleur because he's inexperienced as well. So, usually when you have it, and that's what Nat was all about. Nat was about being able to be the passing game coordinator. And it's unfortunate. Listen, the man lost his life. You know, it was tragic. You know, they're trying to recover from that. But that's what his job was, to be kind of a senior consultant, so to speak. Now, they bring in Matt Kavanaugh, who I have a tremendous respect for, and also tremendous, I've been with him since Baltimore, right? So I know how he works, but he's not going to be a guy who imposes himself. They're going to have to ask for his help.
Greg Knapp is who Bart is referencing. Again, he was going to be an assistant coach on the team, a passing game specialist. He was killed, unfortunately, during the offseason, riding his bike, and they certainly are mourning the loss of him. But, yeah, they were expecting him to have a big impact on developing Zach Wilson. So that continues, of course, to see where the Jets go from here, but the frustration continuing to mount for really both teams here in New York. All right, we'll continue with your calls on the show as we finish up and we hand it off as we get to the top of the hour. But before we go, it is NBA Media Day today as well. And there's a situation in New York that is brewing with the Brooklyn Nets where one of their most important players is not going to be available, or at least not expected to be available, for half their games. And it has nothing to do with an injury. We'll discuss next. Bart and Han, ESPN Radio, and on the ESPN app.
It's Greeny, and Week 3 finishes with a bang, a monster game in the NFC East with all the ramifications. Dallas and Philadelphia, we're breaking it down every which way. We're all over the football. It's Greeny, starting 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and ESPN+. Plus.
Bart and Han.
Bart and Han, Alan Helm, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80. So, Media Day today in the NBA. So I wanted to get to this real quick. I know it's a huge NFL day. Of course, you got Monday Night Football tonight as well in a big game, Cowboys and the Eagles. But all around the league, you're having all the different availabilities with different teams. And, of course, the COVID question comes up for several teams, including those in New York and also San Francisco, the Warriors, because of local variances that won't let home team players play in the arena if you're not vaccinated. The Knicks told everyone on Friday, 100% vaccination. Staff, players, 100%. Everybody, we're all in. The Warriors, Andrew Wiggins is the big story there. But there's also, and this is also interesting, is although it doesn't impact the Warriors as much, Bradley Beal is saying that he is not vaccinated. It's a personal reason. Mm. And then he apparently asked the question saying, all you that are vaccinated, why are you still getting COVID? Which I'm sure somebody explained to him that's not quite how the vaccine works. It doesn't
it doesn't
keep you from getting COVID. It keeps you from having serious symptoms, but I digress.
As I have two a friend and a family member in the hospital right now because they're battling COVID, and it's, you know, it's getting kind of dark. No,
it's scary.
Out there.
Yeah.
So it can be
scary, right? So on the Nets, there are reports that Kyrie Irving has not gotten vaccinated. And again, the rule would be he can't play in any of the Nets' home games.
Did you get the ruling?
And I have not gotten the ruling. If then he'd also not be able to play at games against the Knicks, which would make it 43 games.
Yeah.
Because the Knicks, he'd be a visitor technically. So I don't know if the technicality or because he lives here, whatever it is. So at Media Day, Kyrie is not at Media Day with Brooklyn, but he did get on a Zoom and talk with reporters. And here's what he said when, I believe this is Malika Andrews asking him directly about whether or not he's vaccinated and if he's concerned about missing games because of the rules.
In the spirit of not putting limitations on the future, do you expect to play in home games in New York considering the rules in this state?
Again, I would like to keep all that private. Please just respect my privacy. Like all the questions kind of leading into what's happening, you know, just please, everything will be released at a due date. And once we get this cleared up, but as of right now, just please respect my privacy regarding anything around home games, what's happening, vaccination, please. So, if you have another question, Malika, I'd love to answer it.
At least he's being polite there to Malika, and that's nice. Now, Andrew Wiggins tried to get a religious exemption. The league said no.
Exactly.
I wonder if Kyrie's trying to do the same, because he's saying when this gets cleared up.
Right. Suggesting, hey, once I, you know, I'll let you guys know.
Yeah, so that's certainly something to think about. Now, Kevin Durant was at Media Day, and he, of course,
So he's there.
Yeah, and he's, of course, asked about it. So, okay, are you concerned about not having Kyrie Irving available?
Kyrie is not here today. There's this law here in New York with health and safety protocols. Are you concerned about his availability at home games going forward?
No.
So you expect that not to be an issue?
I expect it not to be. I don't mean that's on Kyrie, and that's his personal decision. What he does is not on us to speculate what may happen. But we trust in Kyrie, and I expect us to have our whole team at some point.
So it's on Kyrie. He trusts him, and he expects to have the whole team at some point. So not a lot of answers there, but definitely, if you're the Nets, you could be without a very important player for half the season.
So this is what I'm asking. If he's not there for home games, does he not get paid for those home games? Do they keep his salary? And is he willing to forfeit 40?
If you're the Nets, do you really do that? I mean, again,
what are you supposed to do? Like, you put us in a bad position.
And it's his personal choice.
So you're saying we go to playoff games, you're not going to be there for home games.
Now, the only thing is, again, the religious exemption thing is something that was sought by Wiggins, didn't work. Does he try it? And does the league say yes or no to him? And then how do you handle it?
They're not for that, because then that's going to make it go to arbitration for Wiggins again. Like, what makes him different than me?
Well, that's, you know, all of that is certainly up for discussion, and that is why it's a big story. It's not really a huge story yet, but obviously once you get closer to the season, which is in a month, it becomes a gigantic story. But, of course, right now, the biggest stories of all are the NFL. And tonight, week three ends, Monday Night Football game, Cowboys and the Eagles, which will be certainly a lot to talk about tomorrow as well. We thank everybody, as always, for listening. Bart Scott, great job. I'll see you tomorrow.
Holla.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Bart and Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN+. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.